actually going over much of the same information you share with your listeners. That first wave and where we were going to be on that rain-snow line, and the likely about 2 to 4 inches, or possible 2 to 4 inches, and then sort of that second wave. And we were discussing our strategy and really kind of thinking, again, in person is the best. And we want our students to come in, you know, to get two meals a day from us, have in-person instruction. So we hate to call and then it rains and, you know, nothing arrives. So we actually were thinking about watching the first wave and then making a decision at around 4:30, 5 o'clock a.m. In the morning. And then, of course, about an hour later, we received communication from county government that they were going to be closing down, aside from essential services. And so then it became kind of obvious that, well, with limited services for the government and, you know, the likelihood of some rainfall that was going to, snowfall, excuse me, that was going to have to be cleared, it just made more sense for us to go ahead and kind of line up with what the county decided.
Well, and how important is it as well? Because, look, I got two phases here of my question that I'll try to shape here with you.
Two phases of your question.
Yeah, because they kind of interact, but they're not. Well, you'll see.
I'll try to get them both right. It's like the center square of Tic Tac Toe.
Jim J. Bullock the block.
There you go.
That means you're old like I am, if you get that reference.
I totally got it.
We don't.
Two different game shows, but it's okay.
Tic Tac Toe? Which one? Which, that was Hollywood Squares. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's okay.
We'll have to watch the game show channel tomorrow when we're snowed in.
No, we're going to be doing synchronous.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We'll get to that in a moment. But the whole decision-making process that goes on here, two things. Number one, you don't want to send kids to school and then struggle to get them home safely. That's part of the thinking?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we clearly kind of have an idea of where we're going to be in the morning between our hours of about 5:30 until around 10 o'clock when our buses are on the road. And we know that this forecasted snow is going to arrive somewhere in the early part of the night, 1 a.m. or so, and then maybe taper off, 5 a.m. So the question is then how much would that accumulate and would it be safe to run the buses? But then you're exactly right. I mean, they're talking about the possibility of a second wave. And so there's just really too many variables that all have to line up perfectly for us to make sure we can safely operate school. And so for all of those reasons combined, it sort of made sense when the county made their decision early with government services limited just to do synchronous learning. And I must say that, we have been preparing for our first e-learning day with the new requirements that we have synchronous learning. And so by the county making the decision early, we then were sort of able to notify our teachers, our families. That way our teachers could get information out about what the real-time instruction is going to look like, what the schedule looks like. And if the teacher hasn't had that experience yet, if they've forgotten what it was like to do synchronous instruction during COVID, during the pandemic, they've got a chance to kind of hone those skills and stay after school to get ready for instruction tomorrow, because we do want our students to have a meaningful experience tomorrow.
And the other part of this question and the determination of when you call the day off, calling it off at 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, that puts parents who need daycare, help, supervision, that puts them in a tough spot. This way you give them at least, 15 extra hours?
Yeah, we prefer to call it the day before, but we also prefer to try to get it right. And the longer we wait, the better. And again, it's sort of that balance. Last year, it wasn't for us, but situations where school was canceled and then it didn't snow and parents are like, they're frustrated about that. So it's always a difficult and kind of a tedious decision to make. So, we want to make sure when we cancel, it's necessary. And again, we would rather students be in person, and that includes getting two hot meals and, in-person instruction and the wraparound support services we provide. So there's a pro and a con. The longer we wait, the less time families have to prepare, but also the longer we wait, the more up-to-date, accurate information we have so that we don't cancel unnecessarily. So there is that balance.
And it's not easy. And we try to have Dr. Jeff Hoswald is the superintendent of the MCCSC. We are trying to explain that to you and others so you can pass this message along to those who might not be listening. I know that I can't believe they're not listening either. But we try to make sense of this. And there is no perfect answer. And we don't live in a world that's perfect either. You talked about we talked about real time synchronous e-learning. That's not new. We're not breaking out anything different, correct? We're just knocking the dust off of things we used to use during the pandemic.
That's right. And we have sort of kind of honed our skills on this and developed better procedures. We have better use of our Canvas system where a lot of the curricular materials are stored. We, of course, have our information for Microsoft Teams. That's sort of the product we use for our online real-time synchronous learning so that the students can see the teachers and the teachers can see the students. And so all of those things sort of have been developed, and we have more experience with that. Of course, when the pandemic first hit, people were just trying to figure all of that out. So, we believe we're ready to go. We did have a chance today, fortunately, to make sure all of our students know to take home their iPad or their laptop, and I think we're prepared. I do want to point out, and I don't know if we've shared this with I have not shared this with listeners, but we do offer meals on our e-learning day.
I was just going to ask you about that, right?
Yeah. Thank you. That's from noon to 1:30. You can pick up a breakfast and a lunch meal together. Noon to 1:30. So maybe it's brunch and dinner, but nonetheless, it's two meals. And that's at Bachelor Middle School, Tri-North Middle School, Highland Park Elementary, and Templeton Elementary. So we sent that information out to families. It's also on our website. But if you're in those areas, feel free to stop by and pick up a meal.
No questions asked, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Our food service workers do a great job, and they're going to be coming in to make sure that our students have meals available. But the only question asked in this case is, are you the age of a student? I mean, if you show up, Mike, we may not give you a meal.
Well, I'll just help pass them out then.
That's the right thing to do.
Tomorrow, real-time e-learning will begin at the normal start time of your student's school. Real-time synchronous e-learning is instruction that occurs virtually and is live. Teachers host online class meetings using Microsoft Teams, and students join the virtual class meeting. The minimum, there's the key word there, isn't it? The minimum length of real-time synchronous e-learning is 3 hours, but there will be breaks. There will be other part of this is independent work. And as most kids know, the quicker you get your work done, be quiet and behave, the faster you can go out and play in the snow.
Yeah, most schools have put together a schedule. Of course, at our secondary schools, they sort of rotate periods. At our elementary, our general elementary teachers will put together a plan, with the idea being, though, that, and this is good for parents to know, that after approximately 3 hours or a little more, we may pivot where the teacher's available. They're on a site where students can reach them if they have questions, but there will be some independent work. So it is synchronous real-time learning, but it will not be for 6 hours.
The one question that everybody has, and it's the old school and the new school, and I don't have any problem if you're old school, new school, or torn in between. I got to go back to school now, too. Will we ever have snow days again?
Well, I mean, we always poll our teachers. We always get input when we develop our calendars. And that's a process. We involve our unions, both our AFSCME local chapter union, as well as our Monroe County Educators Association. We get input from families. And so far, the general input we've received is that this sort of schedule where the students have an opportunity to do a little bit of work and then, of course, time to go out and be outside is sort of that balance. And many of our families have communicated to us and our teachers that they prefer knowing the calendar and not having to add on several days at the end. And so we sort of go back and forth. But for now, I don't anticipate, at least in the next couple years, our calendar does not reflect that we will cancel school. It doesn't mean that in an emergency we can't. If, for example, we're on a major state of emergency, we have no more non-synchronous learning days allowed under state law. It doesn't mean that it can't happen. I just think that this is really the direction we're going in the foreseeable future.
And as I just reminded my folks here in the Radio Ranch, nobody wants days in February and January off. We want days in June off when it's 78 degrees every day, and we don't have to worry about that. And if we like snow, great. You're only going for essentially a half day. You get your work done. You have all that fun as well. So safety first, that's exactly what we want to do. Thankfully, this forecast, Dr. Hoswald, looks like it's just going to be rough for Wednesday. So yeah. You don't expect any delays perhaps for Thursday, just because it looks like from everything I'm reading and you're seeing from the National Weather Service, by dinner time tomorrow, the snow that we are going to get should be on the ground.
Yeah, provided Mike Glasscock has not lied to me on the forecast, I believe that statement would be true.
Well, I'll have the mayor on at 4:05 and my buddy from the Public Works Department at 4:40. So I'm gonna make sure that I am
okay.
I'm layering myself with cotton wool. This will not be me.
I see what you're doing.
That's exactly right. That's survival tactics, survival skills. Dr. Jeff Hoswald is our guest today. Here we are, first month of the new year, literally new semesters for most. And you do have a meeting coming up tonight, as we will get the fourth Tuesday, five Tuesdays and five Mondays here to get things started. No wonder why January takes forever. Good news is you won't have any hold up getting people in and out of the CoLab tonight.
Yeah, I think the timing's good for us. We're ready to go. As you know, the meeting is at 6 p.m. tonight at the CoLab, 553 East Miller Drive. We have a packed agenda, a lot of good things taking place.
Well, I can't just let you go with giving me the packed agenda. What is on that agenda tonight that parents and folks would like to pay attention to? I know, obviously, you'll go through some of these same details we're talking about if people have questions. But what are we looking at here in the first month of the new year?
So we, first of all, continue to present, for educational purposes, updates on our strategic plan. Tonight, we're talking about diversity goal number two. That's student discipline disparity. So we'll be having, we received input and feedback and questions from the community. So we usually do a 10 to 15 minute presentation, and we rotate those topics. This month, we're going to be talking about diversity goal number two. And that's sort of our goal, to make sure that we don't have what we call disparate impact. That's, that we're disproportionately disciplining students based on race, poverty, exceptions, for students that are in special education, gender, and other factors. So we are really taking a look at that data and really working through professional development to identify ways we can improve to make sure that's not happening. We're going to give an update on that tonight. When it comes to actionable items, we have a resolution, the thing brought forth, and it's really privilege of the board to begin the process of looking at school district modifications. So,
Wait a second. Say that slowly for the people in the back.
To begin the process of considering modifications to school board districts.
School board districts, folks, not school districts. You say school districts around here, you'll have a big meeting. You'll have a very
so. And in general, the new census information and demographics came out. Of course, it was delayed because of the pandemic in late 2020. And so it's an opportunity to really study that. And I think, again, this is truly privilege of the board, but I think there is a desire to have a fairly equal representative number of people in each of our seven districts. And I know the board cares about public input. I know that they're going to seek input and ideas from community members, but then ultimately consider whether or not they want to what's considered modify, right, or alter those based upon community feedback. So this is not a decision tonight. It's simply voting to begin the process. And in theory, they would have about 4 to 5 months to complete that process if they wanted to have that completed by the end of calendar year 2023, so that it could be reflected in the new school board representative areas would be in place by 2024, November.
It's crazy. The census happens in 2020, and here we are almost halfway to the next census before any of this stuff gets going. Well, that's just how things work. That's
how it works. Actually, I got to point out that I don't think these have been changed since like the 1990s. So,
okay, that should be,
I think several, I don't know what plural is for censuses, maybe census.
Census,
but
right.
several censuses have passed, I believe, since anything has happened. So in many ways, I think it's very admirable of our board to be willing to have this conversation, particularly since it directly impacts them.
Is it censuses or is it
I don't know. That's why I tapered off.
That's good, though, because I was reading something the other day that was involving the Toyota Prius and multiple Toyota Prii. I'm not sure what goes on there. Yeah. Tell me why Dr. Julie Marie Fry is a big deal in your corporation.
Lots of recognition. She is a big deal because of the National I Love My Librarian Award.
I can't get anything past you. I can't. I can't even sneak it by
that. She's awesome. Dr. Fry is awesome. She's our primary years program school librarian and also a tech coordinator at Child's, and anybody that's ever passed through Child's, maybe even just walked by on the sidewalk, they know what Dr. Fry means to them. And there were over 1,500 nominations submitted around the country to the American Library Association. And, Dr. Fry brings the world to our students and just makes a huge difference. And we're proud of her. And, we're going to say something about her tonight and celebrate her award. She deserves it.
Very cool. Yeah, you got to celebrate the wins. Get a lot of them here. And then before your meeting tonight, you're going to be busy with the transportation renovation celebration and open house. When does that take place here? You probably need to get over there soon. Who sharpens those? Do you have scissors to cut some kind of ribbon? What's going on tonight?
I don't think I get to cut. I think it's going to be some of our bus drivers, our staff. They're the ones that should be recognized. But we really did a comprehensive redesign and remodel of our transportation building, and that's to help with the flow. That's to help with when our bus drivers come in, where their materials and their tablets are, where information is available. We updated our training rooms, created an easier pass-through for them so that they can come in, get the information they need, be updated, see up-to-date weather, for example, have easy access to our director and our administrative staff in the transportation building, and then pass through and then head on out to their buses. So we've been working on redesigning that for over a year. So at 5 o'clock p.m. tonight, the transportation building, we're going to sort of dedicate the new space and give tours. So we're looking forward to that.
Very cool. And that is tonight, January 24th, 5 to 5:30. And then you can head over to the CoLab at 6 o'clock for tonight's meeting. What does the superintendent do on a synchronous e-learning day?
The superintendent comes into his office. So
want you to be safe. We don't need any. What are you, riding a horse? What are you doing?
Yeah, you never know. Maybe. I had some snowshoes when I lived in Kokomo, but I have to admit I left them up there because I was heading for warmer climes.
I tell you what, though, Kokomo, when it blows up there, that's real. There's nothing to stop it, right?
I said farewell to my snowshoes and what I called Mr. Windchill.
Well, we're going to have wind that blows 35 miles per hour. I guess that would be really early tomorrow morning or late tonight, depending on your angle of the clock. So everyone is going to be safe and smart tomorrow. The meeting goes tonight. And then as we all are predicting and projecting, we are going to be back to normal in the buildings on Thursday. And if schools close tomorrow, which it is from the building standpoint, that means no extracurricular activities either. I know we have so many new people moving in. You see the numbers where they did it differently at their district. So I'm just trying to help. That's all I'm trying to do.
Good question. Our general practices that we do cancel K-8 non-IHSA events or any event that is not mandatory for some sort of tournament or progression. If it is an IHSA event, then we usually review the road conditions and we do it on a case-by-case basis. So there are those exceptions in which we may have some events if they're previously scheduled, but we will review that during the day. But otherwise, particularly our freshman events, and then, of course, our elementary and middle school events are generally canceled on days where we have e-learning.
So, yeah, if you have basketball practice at North at this time or South at this time, it's probably not going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll send out – they have a message board at the high school levels in terms of athletics, and they'll update the students on what the expectations are. And, you know, there are the rare occasions where, you know, if for instance this second wave ends up being just rain and the roads are fine, maybe we couldn't get the buses in the morning, it may be possible. So they'll send out specific information. Our general practice is that a particular elementary or middle school, and for non-essential events, we cancel.
Very, very good information, as always, my friend. Do we get it all covered? Everything's good?
I think so. There's lots of things going on. You'll hear more. I do want to point out we also are going to pass a resolution tonight on safe storage of weapons and guns.
Okay.
And that's pretty significant. We're working with groups like Moms Demand Action, and we're passing a resolution and beginning educational pieces to just encourage families. This is not about Constitution, the Second Amendment and guns or gun control. This is only about if you have guns, please safely secure them, lock them up so that children can't have access to them. And we're passing a resolution tonight and believe firmly in trying to educate. We know that there are community groups passing out gun locks, for example. But the message we're sending is that regardless of where you land politically on guns, it is so important that we lock those up, because in many cases, when students bring guns to school, they're under 18, they can't legally have them, and they're getting them from families who say, we never thought our student would do that.
So sure.
We are beginning that important messaging to basically encourage our families, the adults that have a right to own a gun, to make sure that they secure those safely from those who are underage.
So tomorrow, just so we're all on the same page as we are, real-time e-learning will begin at the normal start time of your student's school. Real-time synchronous e-learning is instruction that occurs virtually and is live. Teachers will host online class meetings using Microsoft Teams, and students will join the virtual class meeting. The minimum length of a real-time synchronous e-learning is 3 hours. There could be breaks and other things in there. So this is no preschool. This is no childcare. This is nothing. I want everyone to be sure, because we'll say everything just to make sure.
Sounds right. And you know what? You know better than me. So, but that's exactly right. And we are really doing our best to sort of balance the need to stay home with the goal of making sure our students interact with their teachers. So, it's going to be a good day.
Excellent. iPads are coming home if they're not there already. And everybody's been practicing getting on the Canvas and Microsoft Teams, so we should be well aware of what's happening. Lunch, Bachelor, Highland Park, Templeton, Tri-North. You can pick those up between 12 and 1:30. Be safe, be smart, and we always thank you for your time, buddy. I know it was a busy one today. I appreciate the extra minutes.
Thanks for the messaging and the extra time, and we'll talk to you next month.